Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you just sing your heart out to the Lord? I don't care what it sounds like. Can you just sing your heart out to the Lord? And just tell him that he deserves all of the praise. Every word that comes out of your mouth should be representing how you feel about the Lord. And when it's not, because we are flesh, when it's not, we should repent of those negative words, because they change the way that we travel on this journey. Our negative thoughts change our pattern and direction that we take. Let's take a self-inventory of ourselves, a daily look inside, and let's just repent of anything that's not of God. Our scripture comes from Ephesians 4, chapter 23 is where we're going to start. Ephesians 4. Let's just do chapter 25 for the sake of time. 25 through 32. Verse 25 says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Hear me by the Spirit, if you will, as the words of the Lord has been spoken over the airways tonight. Get your pen, get your paper. Let's get ready to worship the Lord." Continuing into our scripture, shall we? Verse 26. Excuse me. "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful in his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." Verse 29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." Just as Christ God forgave you. Thank you for the reading. Thank you for the doers of your word and all the listeners of your word. We thank you, dear Father, for just given us the opportunity to gather together one more time. And we ask, dear Father, that I may decrease and you increase in our homes, in our jobs, in our cars, wherever that we're just benefiting from this right now. We just, thank you, Jesus. And we just open up our lives. We invite you to come and take control and live inside of us. Put us on your pathway of righteousness. Watch every word that is coming out of our mouth, dear Father. We ask you and invite you to just sit on our tongue and, you be the one, dear Father, that guides it and leads it. No man controls the tongue, is your word. But you are the creator. And we ask you, dear Father, to just lead us and guide us, that we think positive, that we begin to live a positive life, and that we continue to follow you. In Jesus' name, we're ready, Jesus, to receive all that you have for us right now. Amen, amen. Well, he's here right now. He's here right now. He's right where you're at right now. The rewards of faithfulness. God is here right now. And he does deserve all of the praise. Remember, I pray over the songs that I play for you because, hallelujah. God just wants us to be with him in every choice that we make. So remember, every song is just something that God has for you at that time. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for your allowing everyone to return tonight. Our text that we was going to be reading over, we asked that you read, was going to be Lamentations 3, 19 and 26. And also I asked that you read Ruth 1, 1 through 22. I pray that you were able to just get some understanding out of that. When you look back and think about in your life how there's been times that you've been disappointed because someone you had counted on to be there in your need was unfaithful. And you know how that makes you feel, has made you feel in the past. Also, just the writer of Lamentations is apparently in a desperate situation, as we read. He had lost his hope. And I know we can all identify with that, but God is still so faithful. Why do you think God is so faithful to you? Because he loves you. Because he knows the outcome of you. That he wants none of us to perish. What should be our response to the faithfulness of God that we just read about in these chapters, in these books? It should be for us to praise him. It should be for us to worship him. It should be for us to do as his word said and love each other, help each other. Hallelujah. Can you think? And I know you can. Take a moment and just think of some ways in which God's faithfulness has demonstrated his love in your life recently. We could go back and back and back and never finish because he's just that good. But can you think of some ways in which God's faithfulness has been recently demonstrated in your life? Then when we look at the book of Ruth, faithfulness is such an important quality of that lasting relationship between the two of them, Ruth and Naomi. It was a desperate situation going on there. Even Naomi found herself in a desperate situation. But she trusted in God. She trusted in God. In verses 16 and 17, we have the finest declaration of faithfulness, the finest declaration of truth, trust, and commitment to be found in or out of the biblical literature. What did that passage say to you about faithfulness? Look back at that, verses 16 and 17 of Ruth. What did that, chapter 1, what did that passage say to you? The bottom line in the story there, excuse me again, the bottom line in the story is that eventually, in God's timing, Ruth became part of the lineage of David and in the line of Jesus Christ himself. In God's timing. What a reward. What do you think would be the ultimate reward God gives to people who are faithful? In God's timing. So many times we get so worked up because it just doesn't seem like God is hearing us. It's like he can't hear our cries, even though his word tells us that he does. And it seems like we're all along, even though he says that he's always there with us. In God's timing. In God's timing. What do you do while you're waiting? You just keep on going. You just keep on praying and keep on remembering that because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. If you read the book of Lamentations, you went through that in chapter 3, 22 and 23. New mercies. Every morning. Think with me of some of the times when opportunity knocked and no one answered. Real quickly, a little research here. You know when the Beatles auditioned for the Decca Records in 1962? The record executive refused to sign the group because they didn't like their sound. Decca bigwigs Dick Rose, Total Beatles manager. Groups with guitars is on their way out. And the group went with EMI, and the rest is history. But in God's timing, what if they just gave up right then? In God's timing. Another one, when in 1975, a low-level Hewlett-Packard engineer named Steve Wozniak shared a dream with his pal, Steve Jobs, to build and sell a personal computer for the masses. The pair tinkered together on their own time to create a compact PC. Their invention was offered to Hewlett-Packard, which turned thumbs down on the idea. So Wozniak and Jobs went off on their own and found Apple Computer and helped revolutionize the PC industry. In God's time, in God's way. You know, I heard today that a minister was given an example, and he said that it was a building that was on fire, and everyone was waiting to come out of this one entrance. Everyone was pushing and climbing and going, doing all kind of things to try to get through this one entrance of this building to get out. Well, exit, not entrance, to get out of the building. So they was trying to get through this one door, is what I'm trying to say, as they was trying to find the exit. And it was many people that died, was trampled. And then as the firefighters arrived, they had to bring to their attention that there were two other exits, just very close proximity, two other exits. But what had happened is everybody was following the person in front of them. And that makes me think about some things. In life, we're the same way many times. When it's time to, instead of following Christ, sometimes even as Christians, we follow only so far. And then we get distracted and we start following the world. And we're all trying to fight for this one exit. And we get frustrated and we start turning more to the world for answers. When God has your individual exit, I'm waiting for you. Come, child, this way. But we're all fighting and pushing and cramming, running on top of each other, trying to get out of one exit because we're following exactly what we see someone else do. We're all rushing, trying to get rich. We're all rushing, trying to get to the next level. We're all rushing for that temporary passion of sin, the feeling that temporary. God has a door open just for you. And what God has for you, it is just for you. It's just for you. So what we're talking about in the parables under our studies, and one of the goals of life for all of us should be to live so that when the final accounting and the final judgment is complete, just in Lamentations and Ruth, you or me would be able to hear God tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Is that what you're fighting for? Keep that at the very... That's what you should be thinking. That's what you're fighting for. That's why you're doing right when you could do wrong. That's why you get up and press forward when you could lay back and be lazy. That's why you get out there and take that position when you could not do it at all, when you could do something illegal. But you get on out there anyway, and you may not be making as much right here on this fast food job or whatever the job is that you may make out here in the street doing something illegal. But the reason you're doing it, somebody said, why are you settling for that? Because I can't wait when this life is all said and done, when this is all over. I want to hear my Father. I want to hear my Creator. I want to hear him say, well done, Bon, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. He didn't say I was faithful with all of them, but he said, I see your heart, and you've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Oh, I can think of nothing more exciting, nothing more rewarding than those words. So when someone asks you, why are you still holding on? Why are you still going through the motions? Because I don't want to disappoint my father. He's waiting to see me, and I'm waiting to be with him. My father said that he's already went ahead of me to prepare a place for me, that where he is that I can be one day, and I don't want to disappoint him. So I'll choose right over wrong. I'll choose being talked about. I'll choose to stand strong on his word. Each of us have been placed on earth as a caretaker of God's business. You are God's caretaker. We've been given a portion of life and charged with the responsibility of taking care of it, increasing it, investing in it, and presenting it back to God one day. Presenting it back to God. Jesus tells this parable during the final week of his life on this earth. It's almost as if it was the last will and testament. In the same biblical chapters, there are two other powerful parables. Speaking of the parables in the book of Lamentations and Ruth, these three deal with responsibility, accountability, separation, judgment, faithfulness, and a returning master who will be our judge. The parables I'm speaking of right here that Jesus was speaking in comes from Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 14 through 30. I challenge you to read Matthew 24, 14 through 30. As you go over the parables, ask yourself some questions. Number one, to whom is Jesus speaking this parable? And then what is the master expecting of these servants? And is he still expecting the same thing from us today? We're talking about what we're going to have to present back to Christ one day. The life that he's given us. The responsibility that he's given us. For the portion of life that he's allowed us to have, to share, that we should be investing in, we should be increasing. We're going to present it back to Christ one day. Every talent that he's given you, you're going to have to answer to how you've maintained it. A talent was a measure of weight, money used by the Greeks. Did you know that? Of course you did. Much like an ounce or a pound is a Western weight term. Now, at the time of Christ, a talent contained 60 minutes or 6,000 dramas. This would have been a huge sum of money in Christ's days. It's imprecise. But for the sake of understanding, let's use $100,000 as a figure. 5, 2, and 1 talents. So $50,000, $200,000, $100,000. One more thing to understand, this money didn't belong to any of these servants. It was always the master's. But it was to be invested, used, and accounted for. It was not a gift for them to hold on to. For the large sums of money that he had gave them in the talents. Your talents. It's not just a gift that he's given to you for you to hold on to. But he's charged you with the responsibility for the talents he's given you to invest in them. To use those talents. and to present them back to Him. I love running into people that I've known that they've been using their talent all of their life. And you said, wow, you're still using that talent. Wow, you've really invested in that talent. Wow, you're really presenting that talent. You're really showing God through your talents. Praise the Lord. Everything we have is a God-given trust. He's trusting you with it. Everything. Most of us are just average kind of folk. Not spectacular, but we can all be faithful. So the bottom line question is, what have you done with what you've been given? What have you done with what you've been given? Everybody has been blessed with something. Everybody. You say, Evangelist, I can't sing, or I may don't have the talent to act, or I don't have the talent to do this or dance or do something else, but everybody has been given a talent. Everybody's been blessed with something. It's not the gift that matters so much. It's how you use the gift you've been given. Carrying out the garage is not my gift. Carrying out the garbage, I'm sorry, is not my particular gift, but I do it because it has to be done. Cleaning out the garage may not be your gift, but you do it because it has to be done. But you may have somebody else, or your spouse may don't even like it for it to get messy. They don't mind cleaning out the garage. Small talents. They find useful things as they go through that. But I have to do it. Now, more than ever, you have to do things that you know need to be done. Even with my garbage, as my kids was younger, my boys used to take the garbage out. But I find myself now, you know, because our kids are grown, that I have to do what needs to be done. You commanded your teenagers at one time maybe to clean out the garage. But now that's something that you probably have to do. Hallelujah. What is something that you would rather not do, but it needs to be done? And so you haven't done it, and you're looking at it right now, as it just says, they're staring at you. What have you done with what you've been given? You prayed for that big home. You have it, but now you won't keep it clean. And you keep promising yourself. Why not start right now today? Or you're looking, waiting for your home. But you won't keep the small one that you're in now clean. You want a new car, but the one you have now, you won't take out the time to wash it. Until you wait until it gets so bad, and then it's overwhelming. You don't know where to start, how to get started to get it back together. Hallelujah. I have a friend, and she's living along. Her husband is deceased now. And she has a neighbor who stops by her house a couple times a week just to make sure little things like the garbage has been taken out. And he's even instructed his 9-year-old son, you make sure that you look over there in her big garbage pail outside. When it is time to pull the trash cans out to the curb, always check her. Always make sure that you get it back to its place. What a great joy of life. He said he gets joy out of it. The fulfillment of his gift. Taking out a helpless neighbor's garbage. She had a couple of lights that was out around her house. Making sure that he could get those lights back to going. No one is equal in talent. But all of us can be equal in our efforts to use our talents. You will not receive more until you have put to use what you've been given. What was the reward for doubling the 5 talents to 10? More responsibility, more talents to care for. the same held true for 2 and to 4. And remember, I just gave you the figures as far as the talents. That was a lot of talent. That was a lot of money back then. And he multiplied it. He doubled it. More talents, more responsibility. The principle underlying this parable is that God wants you to become a pipeline of his riches and blessings to others. Not that you become a purse for yourself, that you just store it all up for yourself. You just hold it all up. You hover over it. You and your four and no more. The unfaithful servant was called wicked. Read your word. 5 times by Jesus he was called wicked. It's a harsh word of commentation. It was a word to, it condemned. Condemnation. Why this kind of punishment? Because he wouldn't try, that's why. Because fear was the dominant factor of his living. I believe that if he would have tried and lost it, God would have blessed him. It comes down to use it or lose it, all including your life. It's as simple and straightforward as any wake-up message you ever have. This manager was lazy and fearful, which in turn led to Christ calling him wicked. Here's the universal life principle dealing with faithfulness. If you have a gift or talent and you use it faithfully, God increases it so you can do even more. If you have a talent and refuse to use it, you lose it. This is true of tennis, golf, singing, I don't care what it is, skiing, writing, piano playing, even thinking. The only way to keep what you have and increase is to be faithfully invested in it. And you must faithfully invest in others for the kingdom of God. You can't do it with an evil heart. You can't do it just so you can go run around and tell somebody what you've done. But you got to get joy out of it. Always at work in this law of abundance, accumulative abundance. For everyone who has will to be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And that's word, Matthew 25 and 29. Again, it says, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Faithfulness, as nurtured by the Holy Spirit in your life, is an absolute necessity for productive Christian living. That's the harsh truth. I thank you for being with us in our study on faithfulness. I thank you, Jesus, for leading and guiding us. Just take a moment to pray. Follow after me if you want to meet Jesus for your own Savior. God, I believe that you gave your only son, Jesus Christ, that he gave his life on the cross for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I confess of my sins. Come live inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. You can reach me at Walk With Me, God.